You know, God don't make no mistakes. I'm kindly speechless. You just don't know what God put on my heart, and I do, and it just tears me all to pieces. You know, I like to cut up and go on, have fun. I sometimes at other people's expense, but I don't really mean nothing about it. I like to have a good time and a joke. But you know, when you get right down and to the meat of things, I'm very serious about God and the Word of God, because He's very serious about me. He's very serious about us. He didn't make no mistakes, and He didn't mess up in His plan. And as I was struggling, and I was struggling this week. I had three different books that I was reading in, three books of the Bible, and I just couldn't get it nailed down. And that happens to me a lot. I'll just be just sort of lost in the sea, you might say, as Peter was, just not knowing which way to turn. And then just, you know, it didn't come 30 minutes after I left tonight. It come to me before I come to preach. All I know to do was put it in God's hands. All I know to do was to pray and to seek His will and just ask Him to be the God that I know He is. It's not anything that I've done. It's not anything that I'm worthy of. But you know what? He gave me a message. And the more messages that He gives me, the more time that He allows me to stand and preach His Word, the more thankful that I am. And realizing, you know, I went through a time where I think I took it for granted a little bit. I got to thinking, you know, maybe I am good. Boy, you done good, preacher. Well, maybe I did. And boy, I went through a hard time. I went through God's chastisement. And if you've been a Christian very long, you probably know what I'm talking about. You may not know as a preacher, but you know as a Christian. You know, when we get in trouble at home, sometimes it's pretty tough. I remember when my dad would, sometimes he'd hit you before you knowed what had hit you. But then sometimes he'd make you wait. And that was the hardest thing for me to wait, not knowing when it had come. But I knew that I was going to get in trouble. I mean, I was already in trouble, but I was going to get my punishment. And you know, when you're disobedient to God, even though you might mean well and think you may be trying to do His work, but if you ain't careful, you'll get hooked up wrong. And you got me hooked up here tonight, and I hope I'm hooked up right. But you know what? I wasn't to begin with. I had everything backwards. And He got me all fixed up here to where I could be hooked up and maybe sounding right. But I want to ask you to turn in God's Word. Maybe you can see what the hand of God and what He's put together here tonight, not just through this message, but He's not only spoke to me, I believe, tonight, but I believe He spoke to this church. I believe He's already spoke to you. I believe the things that have already happened and forthwith that has done and took place here tonight, it was just a great beginning for what and forefront for what His message is to us tonight. In 1 Peter chapter 2, I want to read some verses. 1 Peter chapter 2, and I think we'll start in verse 19. And if you would, let's stand in reverence of God's Word tonight. Chapter 2, 1 Peter, verse 19. And as you turn, I'll begin to read. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently. But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow His steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth, who when He was reveled not again. When He was suffered, He threatened not, but committed Himself to that judgeth righteously, who is own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live into righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but now return unto the shepherd and the bishop of your souls. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father God, Lord, I just ask You, Lord, right now, Lord God, as You've already made things plain, Lord, to me, Lord God. Lord God, I know that I'm just a man, Lord God. And Lord God, I make mistakes, Lord God. And I pray, Lord God, right now, Lord God, Lord, that I'm not making no mistake in preaching Your Word. I pray, God, that You'd just help me, Lord God, to preach what You'd have this congregation to hear tonight, God. I pray, Lord God, that You'd just touch, Lord God, Your Holy Spirit, Lord God. Lord, it's Him. It's the Holy Ghost of God, Lord. I pray, Lord God, that He'd just come down and shake this church tonight. Shake us people tonight. Help us, Lord, to understand what You're trying to speak to us, Lord. Lord, it just humbles me, Lord God, that you would use me, Lord God. That You'd be able to get something, Lord, out of me, useful out of me, Lord God. Because I look in the mirror, Lord, I don't see no good. But Lord God, You've seen something in each and every one of us, Lord, that's useful, Lord. If we'll just accept Your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord. Lord, that's what makes us worthy, Lord. Lord, we're not worthy, but Lord, He is. And Lord, I thank You, Lord God, and You are worthy, Lord, tonight. And I pray, Lord God, that You'll just touch our hearts, Lord. Lord, that we might have something, Lord God, to be thankful for, that we might have something to testify for. I thank You for the testimonies tonight, Lord. I thank You, Lord, for those thankful hearts, Lord God. And Lord God, there's many that speak, but there's some that don't. And Lord, they're just thankful, Lord. But Lord, it feels real good, Lord, to hear the Word, Lord, from somebody, Lord, that is it just giving it up to You, Lord God, and giving You the credit and giving You the honor and giving You the glory, Lord, for their salvation and, Lord, for their life and for the blessings on their life. Lord, now just use me, Lord God, tonight, Lord God. I don't want to speak, Lord. I don't want to stand, Lord, lest it be Your will, Lord God. But, Lord God, I pray You give me the power, Lord God, the anointing, Lord God, Lord, to preach Your Word. And, Lord God, that it would not return void, Lord God, but that it would be heard and listened to and responded to in the way that You would have it to be tonight. Lord, be with Brother Tim, Lord, as he's gone tonight. Lord God, I just pray, Lord, that You bless his endeavors, Lord. Pray, bless his time, Lord God. Lord, give him refreshing renewal, Lord God. Lord, that he might be able to come and serve again, Lord, as You've called him to do, Lord, and be better for it, Lord God. And we're just going to thank You and praise You, Lord, in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. They was pretty much this whole chapter spoke to me, just come out in my face. I didn't know where to start with the reading of the text. Actually, the first 18 verses, and I'm gonna speak some on those, are as important as the last verses that are in this chapter. As a matter of fact, the 19 through 25 tells us what Jesus did for us and the love that He shared for us, and just what we have got so much to be thankful for that, for what He done for us. He didn't blink, He didn't look back, and you know what? He didn't complain. He didn't do anything that would be expected of us. He didn't do anything that if there's ever been a person that didn't deserve to go through the suffering that he went through, it was him. But now you let us be wrongly accused. And what will we do? If we're wrongly, I tell you, you better get it right on the head with me or I'll say something. I mean, I always have. It's not right of me to do that. But if you're going to get your facts straight, get them all straight, because I'll try to figure a way to weasel out of it and say that you're wrong. I think that's human nature. I think that's something that we do. That's a carnal nature. But Jesus didn't deserve it. But he did it anyway. When we are accused of something, we'll step up and say, hey, I didn't do it. I don't do those things. Hey, whether we did them or not. A lot of times, sometimes even when we're guilty. But Jesus never blinked an eye. Because he knew, well, he was God. We got that all figured out. We know that here tonight. I believe we know that. That he didn't have to do what he did. And for verse 19, that first word, that first few words, for this is thankworthy. Now that's probably the key verse to this whole chapter. But it was in specifics talking about verse 19 and verse 20. But tonight, as we came and those songs were sung about thankful hearts, being thankful. You know, one of my favorite songs is "Thank You, Lord." I just, from the time that I first heard it, it just stamped in my heart. It's really a big part of my testimony of what God's done for me. You know, when that last verse. Thank you for giving your life for me on the cross at Calvary. I wanted to shout, and I probably should have. And you know, there may be some of you in a little while want to come to the altar or want to pray or see a need. Don't do as I've done. And when the Lord spoke to me, maybe I should have shouted. But you know, the first thing I'll do, first thing it seems like we all do, is we'll say, no, I ain't going to do that. I ain't going to start. But you know, if you need to come to the altar, if you need to pray, if you need to pray where you're at, you know, if God speaks to your heart tonight, it's so important that we do that. It may have changed the whole service if I would have obeyed the Lord. I may do it now, you know. I thank Him, Lord, for what He's done for me. I want to thank Him for going to that cross. But in the first 18 verses, I also want to thank Him for who He's made us. Verse 1 says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. He's made us babies. When I was 26 years old, I'd gotten into just about, I hadn't got into all that I could have, but I got into just about everything that was available. All kind of meanness. I had grown up and I had matured, but I hadn't matured on the inside. I'd matured into a man on the outside, but on the inside, I was foolish in my ways. I was foolish in my speech. I was foolish in the way that I went and the things that I done. But when I got saved, I became a babe, a newborn babe. This same newborn babe is here in verse 2 is just like the newborn babe when it was talking about Jesus there in Luke. That newborn baby. We are made anew. We are His little babies, His little children. How does mothers and fathers treat their little babies? They adorn them. They love them. And the first thing that I've been in church services. I've been around babies all my life more than I've been in church, but. Wherever you're at, you'll see a mama rocking that little baby And what are they doing? They're continually feeding them. They're giving them something. They start them out with milk. It says here, verse 2, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. So he calls us babes, but he's always encouraging us and telling us and giving us a roadmap here to go by. He said, desire the sincere milk of the Word. Folks, when we start off, it don't matter how old you are, if you're 99 when you get saved, you're a babe in Christ. And you've got to start off on milk. You're not ready for meat. You got to have milk first. A baby, if you give a baby milk, it will not digest. As a matter of fact, it won't ever get it down. It's not meant for it to have the meat till it's had the milk. And what is the milk? Well, it's God's Word. Well, it's also the meat, God's Word is. But till we get farther along, that's one reason that reading God's Word over and over and over again. You know, say, well, I've heard people say, well, that's boring. Well, is food boring? Yeah, I don't like the same thing. But what do we always go back to? Beans and taters. I don't know anybody. They may not want them today, but they ain't one of you in here that ain't eat beans and taters. We go back to the staple. We go back to what has helped and made us grow. We go back to the Word again and again. But we have to start out. You know, I can remember reading the book of Revelations when I was had just first got saved. And boy, did that ever scare me to death. I didn't know what, I did not know. I was not ready. I was over here in the meat. I was over here in the big steak, and I should have been over here supping on milk. I should have been in the Gospels. I should have been reading on what, well, oh yeah, in the book of Revelations, it tells us what He has done for us, what He is doing for us, and what He's going to do for us in the future. But I thought I always wanted to see how the story ended. And I'll just be honest with you, I hadn't ever read enough God's Word to know anything about it. But I learned real quick like that I needed to go back after I ended in the book of Revelations, I needed to go back and start over. But starting over and over and over again in God's Word, folks, there's nothing wrong with that. That's what we're supposed to do. Keeping on learning. So He made us babes and He made us able to learn. Verse 3 says, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as into a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. He's called us newborn babies. That's what God has made us. I need to be thankful tonight that He has made me a child of His. A child of the King tonight, and able to drink the milk that He has provided. And it says that the Lord, that ye, if so, be ye have tasted, the Lord is gracious. Folks, it's milk that won't spoil on your stomach. It's milk that's good for you. It's milk that'll make you grow. It's not something that's going to harm you to be in God's Word. It'll grow you up stout and strong as a Christian. But so many are starved. They get a little bit of milk. But as we get bigger, we need meat. And if we drink milk all of our lives, you know, our bodies change. Well, so does our lives. Our lives change. And we need more. We need more of God's grace. We need more of God's Word. We need more continually, but you know what? It's sufficient. His grace is sufficient. His Word was sufficient, but we need more of it. So many times I hear they've found new books and new scrolls and they're trying to rewrite the Bible. We need to get fed off of this Word, not going to something else. Instead of getting more, I think a lot of times people think that they need more. We need something different. No, we need more of the same. We need more meat and taters. We need more beans and cornbread. We need more of that, of the good stuff. We need more of God's Word to help us to, to grow. He says here we're babies. We're also a living stone. He says, to whom coming as to a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also. See, it called Jesus the living stone, but it also calls us as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So we're not only babes in Christ, but we're lively stones, it says, and we make up a spiritual house. It says we're a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Folks, look what he's made us. Look what he's turned us into. You know, I got to thinking about it as I was coming after I'd read this, and I was meditating as I was trying to straighten them curves from Franklin here. And I just thought about what I call myself. Well, what do you do, Marlon? Well, I'm a block mason. An out-of-work block mason. Not going too good with that. Well, what else do you do? Well, God called me to preach, and I preach His Word. Well, is that all you do, preacher? Is that all you do? Is that all you are? Till I read this tonight, I realized that I was His child. I realized that He loved me. I realized that I was one of His children. But as I went on to read these 18 verses, it allowed me to realize how much more that I was to God. I would not consider myself to be a stone, to be something that, you know, Jesus told Peter. You know, they say that's what Peter means, was rock. Peter goes on to tell us here about he tells us here who the rock is. As a matter of fact, he's done and told us. It says, in whom coming to a living stone. He is the stone. It goes on down in verse 6 to say he's the cornerstone. Peter never did claim to be anything but one of his children, one of his disciples, one of his servants. But he made it very plainly here, who is the cornerstone? Who is in charge? Now, what has people done? They've tried to turn Peter into a saint and all these things. He's worshipped, thought of as highly as Jesus in a lot of religious sects. But here tonight, it comes right down in the living Word and tells us, you know, that's what people will do. Peter didn't want anything. He didn't want any credit. He wanted to give the credit to the one who deserved the credit, which was Jesus Christ. You know, I got to attend a church. I frequented it a few times, got to preach there. And the pastor of the church had passed away, and he was a well thought of man. And they put a prayer garden and put a stone thing up, and people come and have weddings, but it was to remember him. And his wife still attended that church, and she told me time and time again, boy, he wouldn't like it. He wouldn't like that if he knew it. You know, people in remembrance of somebody, sometimes they're so precious and so dear to them that they put them up on a pedestal. If we're not careful, we'll put them up too high. We don't put people higher than Jesus. I know we love our children, we love our friends, our loved ones, our family. Be careful that we don't put them up there. Because look what people done. Good meaning folks. And then, is generations to come going to put this man up the same place that some has put Peter, that some has revered him, that some has tried to lift up Mary. And folks, you know, they'll use good people. Satan will use anybody. He'll even use dead folks to get his way. And that's what he tries to do. That's what he tried to do with Peter. But Peter right here, point blank, out of all those years that have passed and all this false doctrine that has been brought up around Peter, Peter actually said, here is the living stone. He come in into a living stone. And he was disallowed indeed of men. He was not revered and upheld as the cornerstone, as Jesus Christ, as the Son of God, as God Almighty Himself that came from heaven to this earth to be what we could not be ourselves, to be that sacrifice for our sins. They said it was in verse 5 here that we're those stones, we're our lively stones, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable who? To God. By Jesus Christ. Time and time again, I read what's acceptable to God, and it'll be by Jesus Christ or through Jesus Christ. It'll have Jesus right in there in the mix. And folks, if you think you've got God and haven't got Jesus, Satan has got you fooled. But the only way that you can get Jesus is to talk to God and ask Him to save you. How? Through Jesus Christ. That's the only way we'll get it. I mean, we know that. We hear that over and over. But folks, it's the truth. It's worthy of telling. There may be somebody here that's not heard it just that way. It's not spoken. He may have heard it time and time again, but it may not have spoke to you like it might right now. That's why the Word says to be instant in season and out of season. Preach the Word. That was the Word that Paul told Timothy. He preached the Word. Be instant in season and out of season. Preach whenever it's available, when God speaks to your heart. And you know what? It's like I was telling you when I was coming over here tonight. Up until today, up until this evening, I was torn on which way I should go. Then God gave me a message of thanksgiving. And I even tried to talk myself out of it. I said, well, I know Tim's going to preach a message of thanksgiving. I mean, he'll preach one before Thanksgiving, surely. And then I was humbled very quickly. How can I make that judgment? How do I know what God's going to put on Brother Tim's heart? I don't know what He'll do. But I believe that He'll speak to him and He'll preach what God has put on his heart. I believe that. I know Yuns do. He's got confidence. And I thought, how could I do that? I ain't going to... And then he just said, God just... Settle down. You just go preach. And I'll worry about Tim. Just like Peter said. What about Luke over there? Was it Luke or John? One of them, what about him? He said, you worry about Peter and I'll worry about him. So I got down to driving and humbled myself before God as I was coming around them curves and said, all right, it's in your hands. And as I sat down and testimonies came and the first words I believe out of your mouth was one of the few of the first words was talking about being so thankful and thankful for the blessings. Then I heard another one. And then the songs were about thanksgiving. And you know, we've got a time that we celebrate Thanksgiving, and we hear so many times and around about Thanksgiving, that around the day, close to the day, we'll hear again about every day should be a day of Thanksgiving. But you know, even before we were even thought of by our parents, or our parents were thought of, God had us on His mind. And we've got so much to be thankful for, not only in what we have seen, and not only in what we have experienced, but we've got so much to be thankful for that God did not make no mistakes along the way. That He did not make no mistakes in the beginning when He created man. Say, well, man fell into sin. Well, that was not God's choice. But He gave man a choice to whether he could follow Him or not. And guess what? Old Adam fell into sin. If it hadn't have been Adam, it'd have been me. If he hadn't have been the first, it'd have failed to me. But one generation couldn't make it. Couldn't make it through without sin. Well, God knew that. That didn't stumble God. Well, what happened after that? Kept getting worse and worse. Second generation, Cain killed Abel. Generations went on. It got so bad and so wicked that God caused it never rained, and He caused a great flood. But you know what? He gave those folks a chance, and they wouldn't accept it. He put a man. Was he by the sea? Was he by the ocean? Was he by a lake? Folks, he was on dry land. He was building a ship where there was no water. And it hadn't rained. And he said, there's going to be a great flood. And for the time that God called him and started using him to preach His word, he preached until the floods came. And what happened to everybody except his family? They perished. Because they would not heed to the Word. He's made us a way. He's made us an opportunity. We've got so much to be thankful for. Then what did the greatest thing? It is the greatest thing. But all the things I've mentioned came up, was forefront for Jesus' coming. To see that we couldn't make it on our own. And then He goes and makes a sacrifice for us. Well, you're repeating yourself. Well, it's worthy of being repeated tonight. Never forgetting the cross. Never forgetting what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. And then, not only has He done that, but He gives us a new birth. And He makes us these lively stones. He makes us a spiritual house. He makes us a holy priesthood and acceptable to God through Jesus. Verse 6, I spoke of before, wherefore also it is contained in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believe on Him shall not be confounded. And to you, therefore, which believe, He calls us precious. There's a lot of times that I was in places doing things that was not precious. These things that I've done and said, and the ways I've acted since I've been saved, that was not precious. But tonight in God's Word, He calls me precious. I think of Thomas. I'm talking about this one back here. I don't think He's too precious. But God does. The only reason I said that, Thomas, is because you said it about me. I look in the mirror and I don't see nothing too precious. How my beautiful mama could have had such an ugly boy. Now God looks at me and says, He's precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. Folks, don't matter if the ones that have rejected Jesus, the scoffers, don't matter how much the devil is against it, He's still the head of the corner. The one they turned away, the one that they killed Him. They wouldn't have Him. And he was the one that God put up as the head cornerstone. And folks, in the temples and these temples that they built, even the ones that's still there today, we think about a cornerstone being a corner down here on the outside. But the cornerstone in those temples and those buildings is the stone at the top and in the middle that holds everything together. It's the one that makes it complete. It's the cornerstone. It's the one that we start down here wide and you come up to the head. And when you get to the top, you've got that one stone that finishes the building. And folks, that's what Jesus did for us. If you're saved tonight, He made this building complete. He made this body useful. He made it worth something. That building would leak without that cornerstone. That building would fall, would deteriorate without that cornerstone. But folks, this old fleshly body may deteriorate. It may get sick. It may end up with a brain tumor one day. It may end up with like that man over in the hospital where his hair's come out and his skin's turned real dark brown where they've put all that chemo and radiation. They found out that I had diabetes. That may take me out of here one day, but there's one thing for sure. There ain't nothing that can take my salvation. There ain't nothing that can take away my heavenly home. There ain't nothing that can take away the love that God has toward me through His Son Jesus. And you know what? I've got a lot to be thankful for here tonight. Whew, lost my place. Verse 8 says, "And a stone of stumbling." This same cornerstone that completes the building, that makes us whole, is a stumbling. It's a stumbling block and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word. There is so many people today that's doing everything that they can under Satan's rule to call this a lie. I'm even seeing it in the short time that I've been preaching. Churches that will not accept me. Now listen, I'm pretty confident. I'm not on no pity party. What I'm telling you is very serious. But there is churches that will not accept a man like me because I'll stand on the King James Version of the Bible. Because I'll stand on God's Word. Because I won't go along with the new age and the new way. Because I believe that the old-fashioned way, that the old ways are better than the new ways. That standing on the Word of God the way He said to, and not rewriting it, and not watering it down, and not taking the blood out of it, I believe that that's very, very important that we not do that. But because that I won't go along, and men like me won't go along. And folks, there are men being forced and coerced, and Satan's fooling them into buying into that. And it's sad. But I want to tell you, it's very disheartening sometimes when you don't get a call, when you're made fun of, When you're looked down upon, even amongst your peers, because you won't go to this place or read out of this book or get the latest commentary by some writer of some church out in the middle of somewhere that won't stand on nothing, that believes that fundamental Baptist or fundamental Bible believing Christians are the same as Muslims and are as dangerous. And that has been quoted, and he's a well-known writer. Won't mention his name. Hope you ain't been reading after him. But folks, that's what Satan wants to make the gospel as weak is last week's dishwater. And it's cold and incomplacent. But God's telling us tonight of all of what He's made of us and how powerful that He is through us. Boy, when I look at it and see that I've been made a holy priesthood. Is there anything holy about me? Jesus. And that Holy Spirit that lives in me. I'm holy because He's holy. Not because I'm holy, but because He's holy. Verse 9 says, "But ye are a chosen generation." It's something else that He calls us. A chosen generation. A royal priesthood again. A holy nation. A peculiar people. That ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God. He also calls us the people. His children are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now obtain mercy. Folks, when I was lost, I didn't deserve mercy. And in my ultimate end without Christ, you know what was going to happen? I wasn't going to get mercy. Without Christ, there'll be a day come when you won't have mercy. You'll get what you deserve because your denial of Jesus. You'll get hell. There won't be no, well, I fought it over and I'm going to let you in. I'm going to let you through. I'm going to let you in heaven. I'm going to let you have everything that those that believed in me have got. It's not going to happen. You'll get what you deserve. But through Jesus, folks, mercy will stand. Mercy will hold. Grace will be sufficient for that day of redemption. It won't be given up. You know, if you're lost here tonight and you must not live till tomorrow, it's done for you. Mercy is done for you. Grace is done for you. We said, oh no, we still live in the time of grace. We do. And mercy's still here with us. But you leave out of here, mercy's out of your life, grace is out of your life, you're not going to get a second chance. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. Calls us strangers and pilgrims. I've heard an old song. My daddy used to play it. It lost as a golf ball in high weeds, but there's some of them old guitar players and banjo pickers would get together, and what's that old song? Is all strangers to me? Rank stranger, maybe what it was. Calls us stranger and pilgrims. Abstain from fleshly lust, which war against thy soul. Folks, we're just strangers here. Home's ahead of us. We're just pilgrims here. We're moving on. This is not the end. And I'm gonna try to tease on through this and not keep you too long. Have your conversation honest among the Gentiles. This brought to my mind this verse 12. The hypocrite. Whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation or the day of judgment. Have your conversation honest among Gentiles. Have your conversation honest amongst the people you see. I get caught up sometimes. I was aggravated, kind of going on about Eddie Stillwell a while ago. I love Eddie Stillwell. He's my brother in Christ. And I want to tell you, that man put his arm around me. I met him shortly after I got saved. And if he was here tonight, he would try to smother me out as he always does when he hugs me. He's a good man and a godly man, and I love him. I love him dearly. I love to cut up and go on. I love to to hear him live. And if you're around him long, you're gonna hear that. But folks, not only should we be nice around preachers and watch what we say around preachers. It didn't really say watch what we say. That our conversation, having your conversation honest. If your conversation is honest, if you're honest, if you're telling the truth, you ain't got to watch what you say. You got to watch what you say when you're lying. You got to watch what you say when the things that you say don't line up with who you are. I told Thomas that I had a real good coon dog, but if he goes with me, he'll find out the truth. He's not too good. When the things that we say don't line up with who we are, folks, it'll come a time and a day. It may not be today, but there'll be a time come when the real you is found out. It may be at the day of visitation. It may be at the day of judgment. But if you are honest, if you are saved, and you are sincere to the saved and the lost, to everybody that you meet, considering them the same. Considering them the same. Well, there's a bunch that's going to hell. But folks, if you're hugging your brother's neck, and there's a lost man out there that's just a dying, I just love for somebody to spend a little time with them. I'm not saying going out there to the bars where they're out and doing what they do, but giving them a hug, giving them a good word. Being as good to them as you would be to your brothers and sisters in Christ. Are we supposed to be better to them? But God's Word does not teach us that. We're supposed to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're supposed to be good to them. We're also supposed to be good to the lost. Be good to whoever, however they come. Be who you are to them that it might make an example. See, speak against you as, let's see, well, speaking against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. It may make a difference in their life. It may see that person saved on your good act, your good word, you being who God has called you to be. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for punishment of evildoers and for praise of them that do well. Folks, we've got law. We've got the sheriff back there. Or he was a sheriff for the last few years. I hope he still is. There's laws that you got to obey. We've got a government. We may not like all of them that's in it. We may not like none of them that's in it. But our president's our president. I shake my head a lot of times. But we got to follow the law. We got to follow the law of the land. If it is against this word, like taking the Ten Commandments out, we're not to bow our heads. We're not to run off and shame and hide. I think we're supposed to speak up for that. I think we're supposed to, and we do need to get on our knees. We need to get by our heads and get on our knees and pray and put it in God's hands. But so many times we'll do that, but then we'll fuss and complain about taxes and things like that. Folks, why was Jesus born where Jesus was born? Because his mother and daddy had to go pay taxes. I don't like it. I don't enjoy it. I don't like trying to make out my part and the government's part too, but you know what? Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man. Verse 15, for so is the will of God, Let's see, we're going to get verse 14. Or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Doing what you're supposed to do. I want to tell you, folks, you can be in a group down at the local diner, and they can be talking about everybody that you know and people you don't. They can be talking about the president. They may be talking about somebody's daddy. They may even be talking about the sheriff. Talking about everybody. But let you say something. Oh, yeah, I seen him up at... He's going up the road. I passed him. I was on the fire department. I was down there. They had a wreck on the Larkin. I seen him going up there. He's going to that church, and now he's talking about people this morning. They might talk about 100 different people, but you say one word against one because you're a Christian, they will hold it against you. This lost and dying world, they'll say that hypocrite. That's why we need to be honest. That's why we need to be straightforward. That's why we need to pay our bills, pay our taxes. And folks, that's been real tough. That's been tough for me, and I know it's been tough for some of you. It's been hard. Well, what do you do when you can't go no further, preacher? What do you do when you try to be honest and when you try to be straightforward and when you try to pay your taxes? But I just lost my job, or I lost it, or my work slowed down. I went through all that, and all I know to do to tell you is to hit your knees. That's all I know to tell you is trust in God. Because all these things that He has called us, all these things that He has done for us, all these things that He has made us, He's got a place, one greater thing than all, I think. He's got a place for us. We're not going to be homeless. We're not going to be without. We're not going to starve out. We may starve out here, but we're not going to, not for eternity, folks. You're not just going to be some kind of a, but we think we're just going to be some kind of a something that floats around in the air. Folks, we're going to have feelings. I don't know all of what. There's going to be a body, a brand new body. He takes all this corruption and puts on incorruptible. He takes this old fleshfulness, something that's not this mortal body, and puts on immortality when He takes us to heaven. No matter what happens to us, no matter how we're persecuted, no matter how we die, if Jesus tarries, and no matter the death that you take, no matter how it is, if you're saved here tonight, you're going to be in heaven with Jesus. You're going to be in heaven with God. I got one amen. Can I get another? Have I put you to sleep? We got something to say amen about. We got something to be thankful about. I got just a couple more verses here. As free in verse 16, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliceness, but as servants of God. That goes on to say, when we're free, when we're saved, we know that we've got something awaiting us. We know no matter how high taxes get, no matter how bad the housing market gets, no matter how evil people get, we know we've got a home awaiting. But don't use that as a cloak of maliceness, but as servants of God. Sharing the gospel, sharing the good news, sharing the tidings, the good tidings of Christ. Honor all men. Love thy brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the King. I want to read that again. Verse 17. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the King. Those are words to live by. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only the good and gentle, but also the forward. You may have a boss. or have worked for somebody or in your past that was not the sweetest, kindest, gentlest person. But the Word says here to be subject to your masters. Do what they say do. That's hard. But it says, verse 19, going back to this thankworthy, for this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. If you suffer, you know, there was a lady, Christian woman, that was teaching some classes, teaching some young children at our local assembly. Her husband worked, he taught. And the job that they had a boss that was not a Christian. And they would work extra and extra time so that they could be off on Sunday. But every time, it seemed like when this unsaved person found out this, they would give them special duties, make them come in on Sundays, make them work late on Wednesdays. It was horrible to them because they knew that they were serving God. And that first thing that'll do, that'll make us mad. Oh, it'd upset me terrible. But God's Word's telling us here how we're going to win them. It's not getting mad, but keep on serving God. You can still say, well, that person's keeping me from serving God. No, they're not. No, they're not. Talk to the Father. Talk to the one who got you in the place you're at. Talk to the one that got... See, we give up too easy. Keep on having conversations with our Lord and Master. Keep on having conversations and praying to God. And keep on serving Him. And you know what might happen? That old mean boss man might get saved. That don't mean boss man might change their ways. I think about Pontius Pilate. You know, when it come right down to it, when he seen who Jesus was, he backed off. And he said, I can't do this. I'm gonna make it the people's choice. I can't do this. Can't make this judgment. I'm going to put it in our hands. And that's what he did. And they turned the murderer loose to let Jesus be crucified. For what glory is it if you, when you be buffeted for your faults, ye shall have take it patiently? If we do wrong, we should be chastised. And we should take it patiently. But what reward have we got for that? We should just be thankful. But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable to God. If we're doing right and we're doing God's will and we're doing what He would have us to do, and we're punished for it anyway, take it patient. That's hard. But take it patient. You know why? Because it is acceptable to God. It would be a whole lot better for us to be acceptable to God and for our ways to be acceptable to God than for us to be acceptable to this world. And I want to tell you something. As days comes, it comes closer and closer to the end. And I don't know when that is. Only God does, and He ain't let us know. When that trumpet sounds, it'll all be... That's when the children will go home. But as it waxes worse and worse, folks, there's more and more evil going on, and you're going to have to take more punishment. And whoever was promised to us, it'd be a bed of roses. This nation has been hit hard. And you know what's done it? I believe that it's been sin. There's been a lot of greed. There's been a lot of things that has made this country what it is. You know what it was built on? It was built on Jesus. but it's not built on Jesus today because they turned away. What did Israel do? They turned away from God. But did God give up on them? He let them go through some hard days and hard times. He never did give up on them. So what does God call us? He calls us babes. Feeding on His Word, stones. In the temple, priests. I wrote all this down so I wouldn't be stumbling, but I stumble anyway. Priests at the altar, a chosen generation, a purchased people, a holy nation, a people of God, strangers and pilgrims, disciples following the example of Jesus, and there at the very end of the chapter, sheep cared for by the shepherd. Folks, as Thanksgiving Day is drawing closer, you know this could be Thanksgiving Day. We've got so much to be thankful for. Not just what Jesus did for us, but who He's made us. You know, that's pretty, there's 10 things. That's not all of them because that's not all of the Bible. There's time and time again that examples have been given to us of who He has made us. But He's took us from babes to priests to chosen generation to a holy nation, people of God, disciples following Jesus. But in the end, we're still sheep cared for by the Master. That's pretty humbling. Folks, I may have tore it all to pieces, but God gave it to me. That's all I know to tell you. That's all. I'm so thankful that He still ain't give up on me. I'm so thankful that He keeps giving me opportunities to serve Him. And you know what? You may say, well, I needed to be at church tonight. Well, old Marlon did too. And I needed desperately. I needed this message. It spoke to me before it ever did you. But it meant so much to me whenever, the way God had put this service together tonight, of how all of it just fell into place. And I knew I was supposed to be here tonight to be able to preach to youngs. But folks, I'm broken without Him. I'm disabled without Him. I can't make it without Him. And neither can you. I've seen it. I mean, I've lived it. I've went through some, you know, we don't want to start gossip here tonight. I've seen some hard days. And the thing about it is, I hear about somebody that's got a brain tumor. I hear about somebody that's in this horrible, horrible shape. And I think, I ain't got no problems. But I think I've had some tough times and tough days. But then I look and I see what God thinks of me and what God calls me because I'm one of His children. If you're not one of His children, if you're not saved, you can't be one of these. You can't be one of these things that I mentioned. You can't be a babe in Christ. You can't be a stone in the temple. You can't be a chosen generation. You can't be none of these. You're not a sheep till you get saved, till you accept Jesus Christ. But guess what? The thing about it is, when you get saved, one's no different than the other. One's no better. No one's no higher on this list than the other one is. We're all seen as equal. And He loves us all. And you know what? He loves you if you're lost. He loves you just as much as He loves the first person that ever got saved. Or the last person that ever got saved. But He will let you go to hell if you don't accept Jesus. I guess I tell that more than any saying that I say. People, you know, it seems like every preacher's got a saying, a byword, or a group of words that they say. But that's something that just comes to my mind and in my heart more and more. You know, God loves you, but He will let you go to hell without Jesus. But He's made a way for you to be one of His. Will you stand tonight?